Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today we're going to talk about the subject of spelling. Spelling. Well, anyway, hopefully by the end of the show, everyone will love this subject of spelling, including our young listeners. But before that, young listeners, we have a story for you. And this one's called Strangers Leave Footprints by Aaron Howard from God's Greatest Angel Stories.
12-year-old Robert Cunningham sat by the kitchen window watching a snowstorm raging outside. That winter in central Ohio in the 1930s had been filled with ravaging snowstorms and freezing temperatures. Robert noticed the tall silhouette of a man in a dark gray work coat, almost obscured by blowing snow, plodding down the slippery road. The wind hissed with ice crystals. Robert could see that the man was a hobo, a homeless stowaway, one of the many thousands who traveled on noisy, cold freight trains and spent their days searching for work, food, and warmth. The stranger cautiously approached the back porch of the Cunningham farmhouse. Robert called to his mother.
I think there's another hobo coming. Are you going to feed this one too?
Of course we will, she whispered kindly as she approached the window. He's probably starving. She cleared her throat as a knock sounded on the back door. Yes?
Ma'am, I've been looking hard all day trying to find some work, but there just wasn't anything out there for me. I'm awfully hungry.
He paused for a moment.
Could you maybe give me something to eat?
Why, certainly, she assured the stranger. She never turned anyone away. Come in on the porch and have a seat. I'll warm up some food. Inside the enclosed porch, the tired man put down his heavy wooden tool chest and took his seat. While his mom was in the kitchen, Robert stood inside the doorway, shyly but carefully studying the face of the tall man. Questions whirled in his mind.
Who is this guy? He seems good-natured, and he speaks kindly. Why hasn't he found a job? Where will he go now?
The man's blue work overalls and coat looked threadbare and scruffy, but surprisingly clean. Breaking the silence, Mrs. Cunningham called to her son, Robert, will you come help me?
Yes, Mom.
Soon they brought out a plate of steaming food and a hot drink. Looking hopeful and smelling the steaming vegetables, the man said humbly,
I do appreciate this, ma'am.
Then he bowed his head and prayed silently before eating. As Robert followed his mom inside, he thought,
this really is a good man.
The night's howling storm began to quiet down. By the time the hobo had finished eating, the snow and wind had stopped. The man picked up his carpenter's toolbox and knocked on the kitchen window.
Ma'am,
he said carefully,
you've done a kind thing here. I just want to thank you. I want to say God bless you.
With that, he walked off the porch, around the corner of the house, and away from the porch light. Wondering which way the man was headed, Robert walked out onto the porch. He stood and stared intently in the direction the carpenter had gone, then took a quick glance all around.
Mom! Mom, there's no footprints in the snow! The stranger didn't make any tracks in the snow when he left!
What? Said his mom as she turned toward the door. She strained to see, but could see nothing except smooth snow. Standing motionless in the dim light, they realized he was really gone. Robert, that was no stranger. Strangers leave footprints. When I heard this story from my grandpa Robert, it made an impression on my heart. God wants us to care for people in need, homeless people, our families, and even new kids at school. No matter who you are, God's message is still the same.
Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13:1-2. Wow. Well, that's food for thought, because nowadays we're so afraid to even acknowledge any stranger that we might sometimes leave a opportunity. But we can trust that God knows. He knows our circumstances. Okay, so we're going to the subject of spelling.
Why in the world is spelling important?
Well, if I'm going to answer that truthfully, I don't know. Because it's not an indication of an intelligence. But for communicating, you know, it's good to let people know what you're trying to say when you're writing. But now we have all these tools like spell check. And of course, when you're texting, you don't have to spell correctly. So, why do you think it's important?
Well, I think probably for that very reason, because I have talked by email with people who are a little bit uneducated, and you can tell. I mean, you really can tell. You can tell people who just don't spell well.
You get lots of emails from me. No. Can you tell?
No. See, I was explaining this, and you didn't let me finish. I get emails from people who can't spell, and then I get emails from people who are uneducated in spelling, and there is a big difference. I mean, when someone is saying, you know, I would like, and their spelling would, you know, W-U-D. There's a difference. So I think that for one thing. And I don't know exactly why it's so important except for that. And it also helps the memory, maybe.
Yes.
Helps you memorize things.
I agree. I still teach it to my students. There are some students that just love the different strategies I use to teach them. Other students tolerate the strategies, but all of them work pretty hard, and I make it so that they can all succeed. I already have identified those children who struggle with spelling, who can't seem to remember the word from one day to the next, and then those students that just look at it one time, and they have it. So we definitely have gifts in that area. So we're going to go through the strategies,
I want to know how you can make it fun for homeschooling families.
Yes, and every teacher and every parent, even if your child's going to a traditional school, you could do some of these strategies at home to help prepare for their spelling tests. Now, I will put on my website a list. It's not, I haven't thought this list up myself. It's been around a long time. And a lot of schools now will say, you know, you have to earn 30 points. Pick activities totaling up to 30 points. This is really great because then students can pick the activities that they like to do to learn the words. The hard thing is that teachers have a variety of things that they have to grade. So I'm always saying look for ways that the grading or the feedback happens right in the class itself.
And just a quick question. If you're in the classroom doing this and you give them these points, it's not the spelling test, right. But it's these activities they can do and they do them. Is this a grade? Or is it extra credit towards their grade?
This is a grade. At least I've always seen it used as a grade. So even if they don't score that well on the test, if they've done all these points. So we're always trying to make it that everyone can be successful in spelling, even if they're not a naturally gifted speller. Because some of us just aren't. And I'm very sympathetic because I'm one of those people that still makes mistakes in my spelling. Just, you know, I try. I really do work hard on it. But I still don't do it perfectly. I actually know algebra better than I know how to spell, which is, you know, just how my brain works. Okay, so in this particular spelling contract, different activities are worth different points. So we're going to tell you how many points they're worth on this contract, but you could make them worth all the same amount of points if you wanted to. And so by saying you have to earn 30 points in the week doing these activities, and if one of the activities takes a long time, you know, then it's worth all of the 30 points or three smaller activities. However you wanted to do it, this is just a bunch of strategies that we're just going to plow through here. And also, I think both of us can give our critique. There are some things that I can just look at and I can say, you know, that would be very time consuming. Is the time that you would spend doing that really worth how much you would learn of the words? So we're going to critique these at the same time as we talk about them. And we'll just go back and forth. Number one, ABC order. Write your words in cursive or print in alphabetical order. If you are in the third grade and above, you need to do it in cursive handwriting. ABC order, I think it's a great I think that's great. I think you get a good bang for your buck in that because they learn the ABC order. They're writing the words down. What do you think?
I think that's a good one. And I'm looking at number two.
Okay.
And I think it's insane. Reversed words. Write your words in cursive or print in ABC ordered backwards. Oh, okay. Well, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I thought they were saying to write the words backwards. But still doing them. If you've done one, I see no reason to do two because...
Right. But you could do ABC order and reverse ABC order. So you could alternate. If that was... That could be always part of your learning. Now, I always have the same thing that they do each week, which might sound kind of boring. But, you know, it's worked for me this year anyway. And so we always do ABC order. But maybe we could change it up a little bit and do reverse ABC order, which causes a whole different thing in your brain
to work.
You
really have to think about it.
Now, rainbow words. Write your words with vowels in one color and consonants in another color.
Well, that's too time consuming for only 20 points. If you want them to do that, you need to give them 40 points because putting down a pencil for every letter and picking up another one takes too long. It's pretty.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could just say... You wouldn't have to call it rainbow words, but you could, you know, call it something else and just have two colors and just say, I want all of the consonants in green and all of the
I think
vowels.
It still takes a long time. And I think it's a really neat thing because learning the consonants and vowels really helps. But couldn't you maybe have them write all their words in a pencil and then just say, now take this green color and go through.
And yes, and circle.
Circle or even go over them so the word's not circled or anything.
Yes.
Those letters.
You could easily do that. If it was a day's assignment, a day's spelling assignment, though the rainbow words wouldn't be... It would be a good way of having them write them again. We know if a child writes those words seven times, even the poorest speller, they have it learned. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's show, you'd like a copy for yourself or to share with a friend, then please go to our website, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast page. All of LifeTalk's live interactive talk shows are posted on our site and are free for you at any time. If you don't have an internet connection or you just want a compact disc of today's show, call 800-775-4673 with your credit card ready because you'll be asked for a small donation to help cover our costs. Also, we'd like to hear what you thought of today's show. Please send us an email, include the title of the show on the subject line, and send that email to office@lifetalk.net. That's office@lifetalk.net.
The soldiers are coming. Hush, baby Moses, hush. They'll hear you. Don't cry, please, baby Moses, don't cry. Baby Moses, I think they're gone.
Baby Moses, an I Can Read book for beginning readers. Check us out at myhomeschooler.com. That's all one word, myhomeschooler.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion.
Number four. This is the one I thought number two was, and I still think it's crazy. Backwards words. Write your words forward and then backwards, such as mild will now become dlim, D-L-I-M. I think for a child who's already having trouble memorizing a word, this would really mess them up.
Yes, especially a dyslexic who's...
I could see them actually
flipping.
So I would say nay on that one.
Now, number five, picture words, strong color picture dictionary of your words. I actually have my students do this every week, and I just call it, you know, draw an icon to represent your word. And they really do like doing this, but for the amount of time that I see them spending doing it, I often wonder if it helps with learning the meaning of the word, but it doesn't help so much with actually spelling
it.
So, you know, that is something that a parent would have to decide if part of what you're doing is wanting them to learn the meaning of the word, which I think is very valuable. Then I love this, but
if it's something that you can see takes a long time, then I think you need to award more points for it.
Yes,
and this
absolutely
is in one of the lower point categories.
Yes. All of these have been, according to this contract, only worth 20 points.
Right. Number six is technology words, which is just typing your word list, which I think is fine, except that they're saying each word must be in a different font. Now you've gone into time consuming. So I would think you would need to award them more points. And the only positive thing I think I see about doing it in different font is then they're learning
yes.
how to use the word processing yeah. part of the computer, which is good.
And it wouldn't take them too long to just type all their words in one font. In other words, unless you were really monitoring it, it would be circumvented what you were trying to accomplish because they would type all their words in one font
and then go through and change them. Right.
That's so it's one of those things that you have to watch out for.
Okay.
Triangle or stare words. This is write your words adding one letter at a time. The result will be a triangle or stair-shaped word. See example on the back. I'm going to describe triangle words. So let's say you had the word word, then at the top would be W, and then the next line would be W-O, and then the next line would be W-O-R, and then the next line would be W-O-R-D. If you have 20 words, which is the normal amount for third grade and above, that would be very time-consuming.
80 lines.
And 80 lines. I think
of some children who don't write that fast. There's others that write very quickly, and there's some that just are slow yes. writers. That would be really painful.
Yes. So you have to decide, really, the points. I know they're just suggesting right. 20 points, but that would take a long time.
Now, I'm looking at number 9. We're starting now the 30-point activities. Oh, no, I skipped number 8. Choo-choo words. Write your words in cursive, connecting all the words. Write each word in a different color.
Well, I love the choo-choo word thing because in handwriting, I'm trying to get them not to lift their pen up. But I think it totally defeats it if you have to write each one in a different color.
Right.
I think that totally defeats it. You need to write it all together. And then if you want them to disconnect them, you know, you could have them then go back and draw a line between each of the words. Yeah. But if you're going to connect cursive handwriting, which is what this particular strategy does, then you don't want them to have to put their pen down and take up another color.
Right. Now we go to the 30-point words.
Okay.
And the first one is number 9, and it's called silly sentences. Write cursive or print sentences using words beginning with the letters from your words. Now here again, when I'm talking about slow writers and fast writers, this would take a very long time. And what they have here is the word trains. And the example they give is Tommy really ate insects naturally, slowly. Well, number one, the sentence sounds wrong to me. But anyway, I think it would be very, very time consuming. What do you think?
I do too. I mean, I might say pick 5 words and write a silly sentence so that, you know, this could just take an inordinate amount of time, and they're not really learning well the words. They're not practicing enough just the spelling. And since we're talking specifically about spelling, we are looking for ways to help children, fun ways, have enough practice at the spelling that they score well on the spelling test or spelling bee, whatever you do. I agree with you. Silly sentences should be done, you know, maybe with 5 sentences. 5 of the spelling words, and you could pick the 5 spelling words. You know, you could pick the 5 words that you think you could get decent sentence structure out of, because Tommy really ate insects naturally, slowly. No.
No, it doesn't work. I think maybe this could be an extra credit.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do it.
Yes. Okay, number 10, ransom words. Write your words by cutting out letters in a newspaper or magazine and gluing them into your paper beside your word written in cursive or print. Well, this could be a whole month's exercise with some of the students that I have, because they would get so interested in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then cutting out the letters, you know, you have 4 cuts per letter.
Yeah.
And
well, a number 11 goes right along with it. It's called magazine words. But on this one, you actually find the actual word. What? You could be looking through 10 magazines before you find the word train.
Yeah. And as fun as this might be, it really isn't a big bang for your buck as far as
learning the practice, because the big thing is the practicing it yourself.
Yes. Now, number 12 is called part of speech. Write your words in cursive or print, and then the part of speech beside each word. This can be part of the vocabulary component, because if they know what the word means and what part of speech it is, that's
right, so you could combine two,
part
two
of
parts.
The grammar. And we're always looking for ways of integrating, you know, grammar with spelling and vocabulary and all of that. So, you know, that could be fun.
Okay, number 13, syllable spelling. Write your words in cursive or print and then separate according to the syllables, and you may use a dictionary. I think that's a good one.
That is. That helps people break down their words into smaller parts, and often a big word, when you break it down, is not near as intimidating to spell.
I'm very curious of what you think about number 14.
Number 14, ambidextrous words. Write your words with your right hand and left hand. I actually like to do this, but not on a regular basis, but every once in a while, because I do have left-handed students, and I like them to feel how it is to write like so-and-so in the classroom. And also, you can connect it with handwriting. It's hilarious to see people who are learning to do cursive handwriting with their right hand to try to do it with their left hand. It helps them, you know, have sympathy for that left-handed person who all of our paper and everything, the way we teach them to turn the paper, is all designed for right-handed people.
It is. And you have to hold your hand differently than you do as a right-handed, or you can't see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it hides it.
Yeah. So I think that's cool. And I think that it would make you focus on the words, which is the whole point of all these exercises, is to help memorize
how to
the
spell
words.
Them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about 15, word searches? And I've done this before, and you can make and complete a word search on puzzlemaker.com.
Yes. I love the exercise. It does take quite a bit of time. You know, I'll often say we're all going to make a word search with our spelling words, and then we're going to trade them and let each other solve each other's word searches. And they have a great time doing that, but it does take up more time than what you normally give for spelling, unfortunately. And I don't know if you get that big a bang for your buck as far as
learning
memorizing.
How to spell it, yeah.
Okay, dictionary check. Dictionary check.
We're in the 40-point
We're
activities.
In the 40-point.
Of course, you can put whatever kind of points you want on these, but we're in the higher point ones.
Yes. Let's just read through some of them and see which ones. We only have like a minute left of the show. Dictionary checks, story words, math spelling, secret agent words. I mean, just the title of that would be intriguing. Telephone words, word worth, sentence building. Crossword. Okay, let's end the show by talking about secret agent words.
Okay, that looks like fun.
So you write a code for each letter of the alphabet, and then you write each word in cursive or print. I mean, we're saying that so that you can use this, you know, across the board for different age groups. And then the code, for example, A is 1, B is 2, so on and so forth. And then they have to use that code to spell the words. And that's kind of fun. So if you had more than one child, you could actually have them just, you know, you could assign them a certain portion of the spelling
mm-hmm.
list. So, you know, so they wouldn't know, not everybody had the same thing, and then each other solve each other's words. Well, we hope you've had a good time with spelling. We certainly had a great time about spelling. All of your spelling lessons take on a new and revived energy because of this show. And we have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.